We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. We are rested up from the bye week. Bring on the Kansas Jayhawks. It's a marquee matchup this week. Joining me, as always, is Kyle Porter. Kyle, you're fired up for a game in Lawrence?
Well, I'm rested up. I don't know if I'm fired up. The Kansas games are weird, right? Like, there's nobody there, and Oklahoma State has almost lost, like, two of the last three or the last two or whatever. Playing Kansas is never fun, whether it's at home or in Lawrence or on the moon. Like, it's just, it's not good.
We talked about this on Sunday night on our show. We do Crashing the Boards, our big segment on Sunday. And we brought up this exact point. And what I wrote on the board was the sleep button. Like, you can't hit the sleep button when you go to Lawrence. Yeah. Because, like you mentioned it, OSU's last two trips there, they've won by a combined 13 points.
Yeah.
And it's not just an OSU thing, too, Kyle. Some of the best teams in Big 12 history have almost lost there. Vince Young in 05 was down 3 points with a minute to go and faced 4th and 18. The year Texas won the national championship, they almost lost in Lawrence. That just shows you.
I did not remember that.
4th and 18. I pulled it up after I mentioned it on the air, and I was like, I got to watch this again. This is just
stunning.
Absurd.
That's crazy.
4th and 18, and he scrambles like he always did and gets the first down. They end up scoring the game-winning touchdown. But not just Vince, but Trayvon Boykin, the year TCU won a share of the Big 12.
RG3.
They almost lost up there. RG3 was, like, shut out in the first half. I thought he shouldn't have won the Heisman just for his performance in Lawrence.
I think they won, on one of the last few plays there, too.
I think they went to overtime.
Yeah, and it, like, wasn't televised. Yeah, it was the last Big 12 game that wasn't televised anywhere.
Right, so no one saw it, so
no
one cared.
No
one cared that he almost lost to the worst Big 12 team. But no, it's hard to get up for a game in Lawrence because, I mean, I haven't been there for a game, but I've heard it's like being at a high school game. Like, beforehand, there's no environment, there's nobody in the stands. Usually you're playing early if you're playing in Lawrence, so it's a hard game to get up for. So that's the only thing they really have to caution themselves against.
Well, if you're Oklahoma State, you're always playing early, apparently. They get 11 o'clock this week, 11 o'clock against West Virginia. What's the deal with that?
I don't know. I mean, it makes no sense that the OU Kansas game's at 6 and the OSU West Virginia game's at 11 a.m. It just makes no sense at all.
And do we know – I know that – ESPN and Fox have some sort of like just I don't know how they do it, but they pick the games and pick which to put on what.
Yeah, they take turns and certain weeks they have first pick, certain weeks they have second pick. What channel is the OSU game on? Is it on Fox?
The Kansas or the West Virginia?
West Virginia, OSU.
I believe it's on FS1, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and so is the OU Kansas game.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
So that doesn't make any sense. If they're on different networks, it would kind of make some sense, but I don't think that does. But no, it's frustrating. I mean, and we've talked about the crowds in Stillwater. This is not going to help at all. I mean, no one likes an 11 a.m. game. It's just it's really hard on the students. I'll never forget the year Bedlam was in Stillwater, the game you and I always talk about that OSU lost on the last second kick. That was the first time game day had ever been in Stillwater, and it was an 11 a.m. game.
Yeah. That was the ESPNU thing.
Yeah, and it was hard for young Carson to get out of bed for an 11 a.m. game on a Saturday morning. So I feel the students' pain on that one.
Young Carson.
I did not go to bed in a timely manner the night before, so it was a long day. But yeah, no, it's something where it's been a problem in Norman too, Kyle.
Yeah.
Last year, or maybe the year before, the years get all confused for me. But it got so ridiculous that OU told the networks, like, we're not playing at 11 a.m. anymore. Like, we don't care what you got to do. Like, and maybe that's why they're at 6 o'clock this next weekend.
Well, and it doesn't make any sense. And I even had OU fans tweeting at me like, this is stupid. Like, nobody wants to watch us play Kansas in prime time. Like, we don't even want to watch that. And
yeah, like, I just don't understand.
And especially because West Virginia is ranked, what are they ranked? Like 15th or 14th or something like that. They're
trying to get in the playoff right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Oklahoma State could be ranked if they beat Kansas. They'll be 5-2 if they win that game. So I don't get it from any sort of perspective at all.
Someone in the Slack chat that we have, all the Pistols Firing people, made a great point that the Central Michigan quote-unquote loss has hurt more than just, you know, having a loss in the loss column, because OSU's not ranked, and that's just what TV programmers are looking at. Like, okay, who are the best matchups this week? Well, it's like, West Virginia's playing an unranked OSU. That's all they really look at. So that's really killed them on the scheduling.
Okay. Well, before we move on to Big 12 expansion, Brad Underwood, Mike Gundy, and iPhones, we got a lot to talk about. I do want to talk about who we're toasting this week. Coop Ale Works, obviously sponsoring this podcast, been a great sponsor all fall. And Oklahoma State didn't play last weekend, but I kind of want to look back on the first half of the year and toast a team, a player, a coach, kind of whatever you want to do, Carson.
Well, I want to give a toast to Dana Holgorsen. I want to pop open a DNR, drink about half of it, and then fill the other half with some Red Bull. I want a Red Bull DNR for Dana. They're unbeaten, and he's doing a great job. I mean, just last year, I think he was kind of on the hot seat, but now he's unbeaten, went to Lubbock and just beat the tar out of Texas Tech. I kind of liked Texas Tech in that game getting points. But no, Dana Holgorsen's doing a tremendous job. And homecoming's now against Dana. And Mike Gundy will have a chance to win his 100th game against Dana Holgorsen in Stillwater. But I was unsure about Dana as a head coach, Kyle, his first few years. He did well in the Big East. But then once he got to the Big 12, West Virginia kind of had a rude awakening. But it seems like they're doing better. Now, I don't think they're going to run the table and make the playoff. And I don't even think they're going to win the Big 12. But I just want to give a toast to Dana, a little DNR and Red Bull.
Do you think that Cliff Kingsbury is on the hot seat at all?
No, I don't. I mean, yes and no. Like, do I think Texas Tech fans and higher ups there are upset with him and think he should be on the hot seat? Yes. Do I think they're going to fire him? No. I was talking about this with Brian Keating actually last week, and he made a great point too that he's their guy. Like, if you fire Kingsbury this soon and admit failure right now, you're almost kind of indicting your program. Like, the favorite son who was the hottest coordinator in the country, you're almost kind of indicting your program a little bit, aren't you? If you say, well, if this guy couldn't get it done, see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the question is like, where do you go from there? I mean, you sort of have to take that position when you make the hire. In a lot of ways, it's like Oklahoma State hiring Mike Gundy, and if you fire him, I mean, Kingsbury's been there what, 4 years now, 5 years, 3 years? I don't know. If you fire somebody like that early on, it's like, okay, now what do we do? Like you almost like to your point, you almost have to take on a different mindset about the way you view your program. And in that sense, it's a little bit of a risky hire because you don't know how it's going to play out. He could go 0-12 the first 3 years. I mean, you don't think he's going to do that, but it's hard when it doesn't work out and the trajectory is not the same as it's been as it has been in Stillwater with Mike Gundy.
Yeah, this is his fourth season, and Kingsbury's 22-22. He's 500. And I do think the Gundy comparison is a good one because I think Mike's even mentioned this. It took him a while to learn how to be a head coach. It took him like 4 or 5 years before he really was settled. He admits this. He's like, I don't really know what I was doing when I first got here. And I think Kingsbury's kind of going through the same thing. So I think they kind of need to stick with him. But I do also think that the higher ups, if they're still there, who decide to get rid of Mike Leach, they should be ashamed of themselves and they should be on the hot seat. Because Leach, like the rest of the Big 12, thanks Texas Tech for getting rid of him. He's winning big at Washington State right now, one of the toughest jobs in the country. He won 9 games last year at Washington State. He won 9 games at Tech his last year, and Tech has not won 9 games in a season since. So Tech has to just rue the day they got rid of Mike Leach.
Yeah, he's a great college coach. I'm also go ahead.
And it's a cautionary tale, like I mentioned last week, like, you're at a place long enough, you just want something new. Well, that could be the worst thing that ever happened to you, and that's what happened with Texas Tech.
Okay, I need to toast. I'm also going to toast a coach. I'm actually going to toast two coaches, and I'm going to toast a Horny Toad Blonde Ale from Coop Ale Works. I'm going to pour out a Horny Toad for the death of the Big 12. So,
One for me and one for my homies.
yeah, exactly. Chris Peterson, Washington. He's been unbelievable everywhere he's been. Boise State, Washington. I don't know where else he's been, but he's probably also been unbelievable there. They're good. And I know the Pac-12 is not great, but he's a really good coach, and I'm really impressed by what he's done. And then Urban Meyer, I mean, not just for going on the road and beating OU, he's won his first 20 road games at Ohio State. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society? That's a joke.
It's stupid.
His first 20 road games?
Yeah, I don't even care if it's the Big Ten. Like, that's so ridiculous.
It's
That's so stupid.
insane. So, those guys are impressive, and it's fun to watch from afar other schools, other programs, other fans enjoy that success.
Mike Gundy's polishing his Cactus Bowl trophy win right now over Chris Peterson.
Yes,
Then
that's right. They had
you like that, Kyle?
some dudes on that team too. They had some
Had like three first round picks or something
yeah, they had
crazy.
some pros. So yeah, that's our toast from Coop Aleworks this week. Do we want to talk about the Big 12?
We should.
Or do we want to talk about uniforms?
Let's talk Big 12 first.
Give me your over under. What date should Vegas set for the over under for the death of the Big 12?
The night before the grant of rights expires in 2025.
So you okay? The Big 12 voted against. Well, they didn't even vote, but they decided against expansion on Monday. They're not adding Cincinnati. They're not adding BYU. They're not adding Central Florida. Thank God. And they're essentially doing nothing. And what David Boren said was, all the teams want to be here, and nobody's going anywhere. And I think he's going to regret saying those words at some point. It might not be next year, it might not be in 5 years, but I mean, the Big 12 is over, right?
Yeah, and it was over the day that they lost four teams because there's no one to add. We've talked about this a lot, and it's just been a giant game of chicken, and it just makes the league look even worse, I feel like, by stringing along all these other universities that really had no chance at all of getting in the league. Like, they weren't adding UConn. Like, that wasn't happening. They were wasting UConn's time. They were wasting Houston's time. They obviously just want to stay at 10 teams and get more money. That's the underlying theme here. And the fact is, they are, like David Boren had the famous quote, they're psychologically disadvantaged. They're just disadvantaged in every way possible. They don't have they only have 10 teams, unlike every other conference. Now they're going to play a round robin and have a conference championship game, which makes no sense. It's just a money grab. The league is just it's and it's terrible too, Kyle, because it's the word I want to use is something you definitely would hear at these presidential meetings between all the universities. Behoove. It behooves Oklahoma to stay in the Big 12. It behooves Texas to stay in the Big 12. And it definitely behooves Oklahoma State to be in the Big 12 because you need a conference in this part of the country. Now, as much as I'd like to go to the Grove and the SEC and go to Baton Rouge and have Ole Miss come to town, like the Big 12 is the best thing that would happen, but it's just so disadvantaged with 10 teams and there's nobody to add. It's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and it's eventually going to die.
Well, it's not only 10 teams, it's 10 teams and like 7.5 of them are not marquee teams, you know?
And yeah, seven of them are like in the middle of nowhere,
Yeah,
too.
and
No
so it
TV markets.
it just is I don't know, like I go back and forth on this. I think I'm more optimistic about the future of the Big 12 than a lot of people just because I mean, the money's there. They paid out $30 million to each team last year, which is on par with what other conferences, including the SEC, have been paying out. Now, in the future, that margin probably that the distance between the conferences becomes greater because the last time they're negotiating these contracts, they have different teams in the conference. Like they still have A&M and Nebraska and I think the last time they negotiated, they still had those teams. And so now that those teams are elsewhere, like you just don't have the marquee names that ESPN and Fox want to put on their networks, you know? Like you just don't have them. And so because of that, those networks aren't going to give you as much money. And so it's not even a for me it I don't even care about the college football playoff, like not getting a team in. Like that doesn't matter to me. That has nothing to do, I don't think, with the future stability of the Big 12. For me, it's about like, can you renegotiate elite top level contracts with ESPN and Fox? And the answer, as it currently stands with these 10 teams, I think is no.
Well, yeah, and it goes back to no one's getting in the playoff. Why do it's a weak conference, and you just said you don't care about making the playoff. Well, the TV people do, and it's so frustrating. And another factor in this, Kyle, is TV revenue is kind of going down. People are cutting cable. How does that affect the TV deals moving forward? And let's be honest, the Big 12 product is pretty crappy right now.
And
Are
that,
ESPN and Fox falling all over themselves to pay Big 12 more money? I highly doubt it.
and that's sort of my point, because I mean, the Big Ten just renegotiated with Fox for like half of its first tier rights, so half of its football games essentially, and they get to negotiate the other half, I think, with ESPN, but for like $250 million. I mean, it's the money that other conferences are going to get for their football rights is going to be crazy compared to what the Big 12 is going to get. And I think when you see these negotiations come up over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the Big 12 is just going to fall further behind, because all they've got is Texas and OU, and people don't even like to have Texas because they've got the Longhorn Network to deal with. So it's just, the whole thing is a mess, and I don't know what the solution is, and I don't know if there is one, and I don't know. I don't know.
Who do you think leaves first?
Well, I see. I don't know. Like, who has an incentive to leave? Texas doesn't, for sure. I mean,
Texas definitely doesn't. Oklahoma
do they have,
might.
what is their incentive to leave?
They don't have a ton, but if they view that the Oklahoma brand is being submarined by the Big 12, which in some ways it has. I could see them leaving for the Pac-12 or the SEC. I don't think they'd leave for the Big Ten. But I mean, they could. I think
See,
David Bourne would like that academically, but I don't think OU's a fit academically with the Big Ten. But that's my point is someone's gonna get antsy and someone's gonna leave, and I think that's gonna be the death of the Big 12.
but I don't know who it would be, other than I don't think anybody has the huevos to do
Well,
that, other.
it's either Oklahoma or Texas.
Yeah,
So, but
but and
let's say that ESPN and Texas just their TV deal blows up, the Longhorn Network blows up. When is that signed through? Is that signed through the grant of rights?
yeah, I think it might have been, yeah, I think so, 'cause I think it was 10
Okay.
years. It might have been a couple, it might have been through like 2023 or something.
Yeah. Well, never mind. I was gonna say, what if ESPN just takes their ball and goes home? But
Yeah.
not if they're contractually obligated. What they need to do, Kyle, they need to hire someone in the Big 12 who's super young, I guess, and edgy, and just signs a deal with like Netflix and goes full millennial and just signs TV deals for Twitter,
Goes full millennial.
Netflix. Like, seriously, Twitter's already broadcasting, NFL games on Thursday night. Like,
Yeah.
go full, like, forward thinking, because the Big 12 for so long has been so backward thinking. Just they need to differentiate themselves, and they need to do it right now. But
Yeah.
I'm so down on the league, it's not even funny.
I think that's a really good point, because I think if you differentiate yourself, like, then you're not necessarily competing against the you're like, to get money from TV networks, you're not competing against Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama. Now you're competing against like Bloodline and House of Cards. You know, like you're
Maybe
like,
that's a losing battle,
well,
though.
but it might not be, because there's those companies, I presume, want to diversify their content, and all ESPN is doing is generating worse content when they have Big 12 games, you know, compared to their Big Ten content and their SEC content and whatever, or less desirable content from the Big 12. So I don't think that's a, I think that's a pretty decent idea. I don't know how you make that happen under the current
Yeah, I mean that's the kicker. I mean,
contract.
Fox and ESPN have the rights, so I'm not sure how it works either. I'm thinking big picture just to save the league, and whether that's, Netflix, I'm just thinking more technological,
Yeah.
kind of like Mike Gundy is with cell phones. You want to talk about that?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So So Mike Gundy on Monday at his press conference said that he thinks there is, this was amazing. Like the whole thing was amazing. He thinks there is more parity in college football because kids are on their phone these days. Unlike when we were, you know, back when we were playing, played in the front yard a lot, played ball and played 500 in the front yard, jackpot. But he thinks that there's more parity in college football because kids are on their phones. Can you decipher this for me?
I think the point he was trying to make is that kids aren't as good at football. They don't have the same football IQ because they don't play it as much, which maybe that's true, but I feel like nowadays kids are more prepared to play as freshmen than they've ever been in the history of the game. So I don't know how he can say that. But he's around it much more than I am. Maybe he's onto something. Did you play a lot of catch in the front yard, Kyle, or did you play on your phone?
No, I didn't have a phone until I was like 15, 16. But so I did play, and I wasn't allowed to have video games and whatever. And I think his point is a good one. I think he might not totally know what parity means, because parity is when all the teams are equally good or bad, like they're just all the same. And so to his point, it would have to be only the really good players on the really good teams that are on their phones, which brings the whole, you know, everything back to like the center. Like I think his point that like kids aren't as athletes or players aren't as creative or as
Football savvy.
yeah, football savvy as they used to be. I think that's actually a decent point, but I don't think it creates parity, especially when two coaches have won 7 of the last 10 national titles.
There's only four active coaches who have won a national title.
Yeah, but that's not parity. That's
Four.
domination by the top level of team. And I get what he's saying. Like Kansas, like the crappy teams are better than are harder to beat than they used to be.
Yeah,
Because
and the
there's
biggest
more.
reason for parity is the scholarship limits. Back in the
Yes.
day, Oklahoma and Nebraska could hoard 100 legit All-American types just because they could. Nowadays, they go every which way. The talent level is much more spread out amongst the mid to lower tier teams than it ever was.
And there's more incentive to be good at college football than there used to be, 'cause you get,
Yeah, like OSU didn't try until 2005.
yeah. Well, and I mean for individual, for like kids growing up, there's more incentive 'cause
Oh,
you
yeah.
can get, to your point, you can get, there's more scholarships to be had. The NFL money is way bigger than it used to be, so it's, that's the reason that there's just more good players, and that's like the opposite of what he was saying. And he said a month ago that he was just chasing chicks at the pool all summer, while and kids these days are you know in the weight room. So I don't know. I don't get it.
Did you watch his whole press conference?
No,
I did before we did the pod.
did you fill out the bingo card?
I did. I filled five spots. And this was, five spots is really good, Kyle, because it was only 19 minutes long. His press conference usually goes about 30 to 35, but it's Kansas. The Kansas one is always the shortest press conference of the season because what are you asking him about Kansas for? But in our opinion,
Yeah, we added.
back at it was just right off the bat. It was strong back at it.
Yeah.
In our opinion, I wish I'd written all these down. I think goes to class, loves the game was in there as too, in there as well. But I used five bingo spots, and he also had a great kind of soliloquy on cryogenic rehab. Did you listen to this or no?
I heard about it. I have not heard him talk about it
Well, he was asked about, I guess Devontae Everett uses the cryo to kind of recover, and he's like, yeah, the ones who are smart do it all the time. I guess it's an optional thing. And here's the best part of what he said. He's like, I do the cryo before I come talk to you guys. I use it on my brain. I get in the cryo and it clears my head, so I don't say anything stupid in here. So Gundy, before his press conference, does the cryogenic chamber.
That's
He freezes his whole body.
that is absolutely spectacular. That's the best thing I've heard all week.
That stuff does work though. It gets rid of, like, I haven't done it yet, but I've been kind of wanting to try it out. But maybe I should do it to clear my brain too.
we did add some to our bingo card. We added a few phrases that people helped us out with.
Which were?
Well, we added "in our opinion," which was from Kyle Cox, who's a new contributor to.
That was one he used today. In our opinion,
yeah,
that was one.
Yeah. He played average. No, that was.
We had that one.
Yeah, that was you. Never been on any lists.
That's a good one.
That's such a good one.
That's the one. That's back when he had a little few more troublemakers. So he had a list. Yeah. I haven't heard him reference the list in a while, but that's an oldie.
World We Live In. I think that was you post podcast last week.
Do what?
This is the world we live in.
Yes. that was he said that one today too. World We Live In. I think that was when we were talking about the phones.
I added any reference to like technology or phone usage. Just
yep.
Because he actually does do it a lot. People on Twitter gave me the next three. It's important to him.
Yep.
He says that a lot.
Football's important to him.
Yeah. Blank has done a great or good job for us.
Done a really good job for
yeah,
us.
Yeah. Mason's done a good job for us. He says that all the time.
Yeah.
And then, oh, I added this one. This was one that I thought of after our podcast. He gives great effort.
Gives great effort is underrated.
Yeah.
It's up there on my favorites.
Yeah. So
gives great effort. Never says a word.
Yeah. So Chris Knox is working on our bingo card right now. So hopefully we'll have those out by, I don't know.
Yeah. My idea was to have that picture of Gundy smirking at his press conference, the one that made the round. Have that as like the backdrop with the Marshall badge as the center space.
The Marshall badge as the center space is awesome. I love it.
We'll see what he can come up with there.
Speaking of the Marshall badge, let's do a uniform review. Is that what we're doing?
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were pausing for a message from our sponsors.
Let's get to this week's uniform review brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop Cowboys shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Chris's has national championship t-shirts for sale.
1945.
How about
that?
Go
and get them.
Yeah. So you guys, I'm going to.
We didn't talk about that. That happened like after our podcast last week.
Did it?
Yeah, we didn't. We did a podcast with Oklahoma State, did not have a national championship. And when our podcast ended, they did.
That's right. Because somebody was writing the post at, like while we were talking.
Yeah, I had no idea it had happened until we were done. But good for the Blonde Bomber.
Yeah.
Bob Fittmore and company.
Did you see the uniforms? That's what we can talk about. Did you see the uniforms OSU was wearing for the 1946 Sugar Bowl?
Yes, the All Blacks.
They're awesome.
With the matte helmet.
Yeah, just tremendous.
Like I wish that could come to reality. Like, would you rather wear those or the 88s?
Probably the 88s, just to get it. I mean, it just needs to,
just
like,
for pure nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah, it just needs to be done. Like that, cause, so we can move on to something else.
Yeah. I would like to see the 88s for homecoming and then the 45s for the bowl game.
Yeah.
How sweet would that be?
I mean, it'd be incredible. But and they wore two different. I mean, they had a an alternate, obviously, for the bowl game back in 1946 when they beat St. Mary's. Did you see what I wrote about this? But the average, I think it was the average weight for OSU players back then.
205 pounds.
203 pounds. I think it was, and that was like the biggest team that had ever played in a Sugar Bowl.
Just beating people up, SEC style back in the day.
That's like 203 pounds is like 10 more pounds than I weigh. Like it's like a bunch of me's running around out there, which is not good.
Yeah, that's like Dylan Stoner.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. but he's on his phone too much. So I would love to see those for the bowl game.
But they can't though, right? Like I guess there's rules against having throwbacks or something.
Right.
They can only have three jerseys, which they already have with the black, the orange, and the white.
How mad do you think the 1920s alums were about them wearing all black for a bowl game?
Yeah, where's the orange?
Yeah.
Wear orange.
It's sad.
And were there rules back then? Like there was no like NCAA rules like, oh, you can't have another alternate in a bowl game. They just wore them.
Yeah, I don't. The NCAA was like,
they're like, we fought in World War II. Damn it, we're wearing all black whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't care what you say, NCAA. But the best thing to come out of the whole thing on Twitter was the guy, you know, Mark Schlabaugh was arguing that Army was the best team. He gave their resume, and the guy tweeted him and said, "Army also beat Germany on the road."
It was like the best tweet I've ever seen
It
because
was up. I showed it on TV.
it
I showed it
what
on my
you
sportscast that
should
night.
have. It was so subtle. Like it wasn't over the top, and it was just a response, and it was like Army beat Germany on the road, and like
Yeah.
it wasn't even it was oh it was so good. I loved it. It was
Yeah,
perfect.
that was fantastic.
Okay, I have a question for you about Oklahoma State's uniforms. What would you like to see them do? I guess we've kind of been talking about this, but is there anything specific you would like to see them do over the next over the second half of the season with their uniforms?
Well, they're saving black, white, black for one of their big road games. I don't think they'll wear that for Kansas, but I like to see that combo, the updated version, either for Oklahoma or for TCU. I bet they wear that at TCU. What the helmet I want to see, Kyle, on Saturday against Kansas is the white helmet with the black brand and the black stripe. I've been kind of calling for that all year with the black face mask. I want to see that. It's been kind of startling how little we've seen the brand. I think you and I like the brand the most on the helmet. I'd like to see that moving forward.
I like that. Have they not worn that yet? The white helmet with
No, the only branded helmet I think they wore was the updated chrome brand they wore like week one. Is that the only time they've worn the brand? I think they've worn Pete ever since.
I guess so. What about the Texas game? I guess that was black with
Sheriff Star now, or the Marshall badge.
Whatever we're calling that. I want to see full, and again, I think we can't get this because of some NCAA rule, but they wore the, and I love this. This is my favorite helmet, the throwback helmet, last year for homecoming against Kansas with the just plain OSU in black.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want to see something. If it's, I don't care as, I mean, the 1988 thing would be cool. I don't care about it as much as most people, but I want to see something to go along with that helmet for homecoming this year against West Virginia.
You want the old school brand?
Well, I
The
just want
88 brand?
the whole uniform to be that kind of throwback plain style, like from the 70s or 80s or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like the new homecoming tradition. I like that what they've done on homecoming with it seems like every year now they're busting out a throwback edition. I would kind of like to see, well, obviously I want to see the 88 helmet, but maybe even a 80s helmet where they remember they had the black helmet like Jimmy Johnson era. They had the black helmet with the white old school OSU brand. That'd be kind of cool with like a black uniform.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Maybe
Just
go
like
all
a
black again for the 45 team.
yeah, just like a plain like that helmet is super plain. Like it looks like, somebody just bought, like we always joke about, bought some stickers from Chris's University Syrup, but it actually looks good because of how plain it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Okay, we got one more thing to talk about. We want to talk about Brad Underwood, but let's hear some more from our sponsor this week, Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head to toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Brad Underwood, does he know how to win a fan base over or no?
He knows what he's doing. I mean, OSU fans have to be swooning at the things he is saying. Just hearts a flutter. He came on our show a couple weeks ago when we had the OSU game in Texas on ABC, and he said all those same things on the air. And that's the thing. Like, it's been so long since OSU's been good at basketball. People just forget just what a great job it is. It drove me nuts when people were talking about, oh, how good is the OSU job? It's probably like fifth or sixth in the Big 12. No, it is not. It is one of the best jobs in the league, one of the better jobs in the region, one of the better jobs in the country, if you have it rolling, if you know what you're doing. Because not only is it to have the tradition and the history is great, which Underwood's done a fantastic job referencing, but it's set up to win now in 2016 with that ridiculous locker room that they have, and your arena wins you games in college basketball. There's no greater home court, home field advantage than college basketball, even more than football. So I think it's up to the fans, I think, to kind of turn out. Now, I am a little concerned about ticket prices. I think they're still pretty high up there. He's gonna have to start winning to get the crowds back to what they were. But he's saying and doing all the right things. And more than anything, Kyle, I just think he knows what he's doing. He's about to win a lot of basketball games.
Yeah, I agree. He called Juwan
Playing
up.
you playing on your phone? What are you
Well,
doing?
no, sorry. There's some golf stuff going on right now. But he called Juwan Evans and Phil Forte one of the best backcourts in the country. I mean, I think they're going to be. They're picked seventh. I don't know if we. I don't know if that was out when we talked last week either. But they're picked to finish seventh in the Big 12. I think they're going to be better than that. I just think that you get into like these basketball leagues and it's like, you know, 4 through 9 might be like all the same and they're just separated by like one or two games. And I think, I mean, like we've talked about again and again, I think he's a great coach and I'm excited about just I don't know. I think this season's gonna be awesome. I really do. I mean, I think you can do a lot of stuff when you have Juwan Evans as your best player.
Right. I think seventh is like their floor.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, I think people just look, okay, they have a new coach. What did they do last year? Well, Forte and Evans didn't even hardly play last year. They
Yeah.
both got seriously injured. So you factor in those two coming back with the fact that they've had probably the biggest upgrade in the country as far as coaches go. I mean, there was that poll that came out from all the coaches across the country who had the best hire, and Underwood was the runaway winner.
And
So he's obviously respected amongst his peers. And Ford was last
St.
on
Louis
that
finished
list.
last. I did see where I think our friend Mark Cooper tweeted this, but Underwood wants to average like 75 possessions a game, I believe. And I'd have to go back and look. I think Oklahoma State was in the 60s last year, so he wants to run. And I like that he put a number on it because it's not just like, hey, we want to be fast. Like, of course, everybody wants to be fast. Like, that's not a real.
Yeah, that's like what Ford said when he showed up. I was like, we're going to run and gun, and then they never did.
Yeah, it's like not a real thing. But if you're like, hey, we want to average 75 possessions a game, or I can't remember what the number was. I'd have to go back and look. But I think that is I think that's exciting. I think him saying Devon Dillard is the most improved guy since practice started is exciting because I think that guy's pretty talented. He just didn't really have any direction. So I don't know. It's gonna be I certainly the excitement level is eons beyond what it's been over the last few years. So I think
Definitely.
that alone has to count for something.
Well, you mentioned the possession stat he gave that he wanted to run and gun. Like, that's what's so fascinating to me about Underwood. He strikes me as this old school type of coach with his everyday guy thing and how hard he works. But he's also very forward thinking when it comes to analytics.
Yeah.
He's mentioned Golden State and how he liked the fact that he's even toyed with the idea of playing five guards
Yeah,
at
I
one
love
time.
it.
Like, he's very forward-thinking on top of having that old-school Jack Hartman, K-State, Iba tree mentality.
Right.
That, to me, is probably the most exciting thing about him, is that he's not just stuck in this old-school ways. He's also evolving with the game. So which just sounds like infinitely more complex than what the previous coach was doing. So
The previous coach. Is that like Gundy re referring to players as their numbers?
kind of
You just
the previous coach. One more thing I wanted to mention from the Gundy press conference, Kyle. This was
Yes.
kind of cool.
Let's end with this. I want you. This could be a
It's not that
walk-off. Well, it can be a
good.
walk-off.
It's not that good. I
Okay.
mean, Gundy was talking about the brand, like just OSU's logo and how it's changed since when he first started. He said when he was first going on the road recruiting, if he got west of Colorado, everyone looked at his shirt and thought he was Oregon State.
Wow.
And now, like, he'll go to Florida and people know it's Oklahoma State. People on the West Coast know it's Oklahoma State. So he says it's come a long way. And that got me thinking, like, wait a second. OSU plays Oregon State. Shouldn't the winner get the rights to the interlocking OS logo? No, I looked up their future schedule, Kyle. Do you know who they play in the future coming up? They got,
Got Boise. They
yeah.
got Oregon State.
Here, let me go by a year here. 2017, they got Tulsa at home.
Alabama.
They go at Pittsburgh. They go at South Alabama. Did you know that?
Yes, what is that?
I looked it up. It's in Mobile,
No, no,
which
no.
is not a great.
But what are you doing? Like, why is Oklahoma State doing that?
It's like the Troy situation all
It's
over again. We were in college when they go to Troy.
worse. I mean, why are you playing at South Alabama? Like, can't you just pay them a couple hundred thousand and they come to you?
Well, it's one, you go there once and they come here twice.
They should come here like 11 times.
I would agree. So 2018, South Alabama makes their triumphant return to Stillwater. And then Boise State comes to Stillwater. That's nice. 18. Then 2019 at Oregon State and then at Tulsa. I kind of like having Tulsa as the non-conference game. It's a road game, but it's also kind of a home game as well. And then Oregon State in 2020. I think they go to Boise in 21. And then Arizona State in 22 and 23. Where are you going to be in 2023, Kyle? We have to go to Tempe.
Is Oklahoma State still going to be in? Are those two teams not going to be playing conference games in 2023?
I hope so. That'd be
Yeah,
kind of nice.
that would be nice.
I'm a late nighter, so I can handle Big 12 after dark. I don't know if
Yeah,
our listeners
that'd be
like that.
fun. I don't know. I might not even be running the ball. I might just sell the blog for millions of dollars and retire to the Caribbean in 2023.
All right. I guess Kyle Boone will be running the site in 2020.
Do you have a team, Carson, that you would want? Like, which team do you most want Oklahoma State to play in the non in a non-conference game?
The team I most want them to play, well, it's definitely not Ole Miss. I've had my fair share of Ole Miss over the years. I was thinking along the lines of SEC. I think Tennessee would be fun, mainly because I went to Neyland Stadium for the OU game. That was just OSU fans would love it. It's right there on the water. It's insane. But the more I think about it, I'd kind of like Michigan. Michigan would be nice. Michigan or Notre Dame, probably.
Notre Dame would be tasty.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like along the lines of like the road trip aspect, like think sightseeing.
I think Clemson would be a blast. I think traveling like a home and home with Clemson would be awesome.
Yeah, Clemson would be good. That's a good pick. Death Valley. Have a team in Orange visiting.
We might get roasted, but it would be fun. It'd be like the Georgia trip.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it's the best.
Even though she just got annihilated by No'Shawn Moreno.
Dez's first game, Athens, like it was we took a road we took a Suburban down there. We hooked up a TV in Nolan Cox's Suburban and played like NCAA football like on a PlayStation on the way down. I mean,
Oh, that's amazing.
it was so great. It was the best.
See, that's the argument against playing Rum Dums that Mike Gundy wants to play at home. You know what I mean? Like,
Rum down.
yeah. Like going to Athens and losing to Georgia is infinitely more memorable than beating up South Alabama at home.
Yes, or at South Alabama,
Or at South Alabama.
apparently.
Yeah. So I thought you might say Florida Gators. I know you like them.
No, that's more
You don't want to go to the swamp?
No, I've been to the swamp. It's not very good.
Yeah. This
It's
is this podcast's going to make its way to the Florida message boards now.
not good. Oklahoma State tailgating is better than Florida. How about that?
Wow.
Way better. Not even close.
For selfish reasons, I'd like to go to Arizona State, which we will do in 2023. That campus is, every time I've been there, I'm like, why did I not go to school here? Arizona State is incredible, so that'd be fun too. Of course, OSU's played in that stadium. They played there for the Insight Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
Indiana. Okay. We will be back later in the week with a guest and we need to talk about Kansas's uniforms later in the week too.
yeah,
We didn't get to it. I forgot.
where that's when I will equate Gargantuan Pete to Gargantuan Jayhawk.
At least Gargantuan Pete isn't taking up half of Galgariba Arena's floor.
So true, so true.
Okay, Carson, we'll talk to you later in the week.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you.